And look who's back on the radio. The Turd Ferguson.
Who? What?
Not the Who. The Who, actually, they probably are on the radio just about every day, just about once an hour.
Probably, at least, somewhere.
Yeah, I don't know. There's only one radio, isn't there?
Yeah, I believe so. We've gone to One World Radio. That's where we're headed right now.
Uh-huh.
In September 2020.
Because chances are really good in 2020 that we're going to get everybody to agree on a set playlist. That's if I've learned nothing else about humankind, is that we can all agree on things. So
exactly. Yeah. Yeah. That's the future. I can't guarantee it. Collaboration. I honestly believe that. I just I think the numbers that will collaborate or willing to collaborate are shrinking every day. Yeah. I've always believed collaboration is the future, which is kind of cool. I mean, not to lead into what we're doing is the essence of collaboration. You know, we're in different cities. We're recording a project in multiple cities with multiple participants, and that's collaboration at its finest.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I'm thankful for the technology that we have to do this, but even just a podcast from four locations, but to put music together from four locations is like,
yeah,
you know, I know that bands have done that in the past where they would send tapes to each other and they, you know, one player would put their parts on a reel or whatever, but
to
be able to do it the way we're doing it now is, it's all magic.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just want to say that. Thank you, Apple.
That's right. Exactly.
I just want to get that out of the way right now.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It's you know, vision for the future and what could be. Continues to drive that company. Certainly drove it when Johnson was around, for sure. So especially when you've seen the documentaries about Apple and putting Jobs out and all that stuff. Like, man, like it's quite the story.
It is.
It's a rags to riches again.
Like, have you read the biography about Jobs with Walter Isaacson's author Proess?
I have it. I have a copy. I found a copy a couple of years ago. Or what? Has it been that? How long has it been out? Is that the one I'm thinking of?
This one came out in 2012 because he had been interviewed all the way up until Steve's passing in 11.
Yes.
I think that was 11, right? It was early 11. It was late. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It was either 2010 or 11. I want to say it was 11. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Point is, the book came out I'm going to say the next year. I'm going to look it up because guess what? I have the internet right in front of me.
You know, I believe I picked up a copy and I have one in my library and it's on my list of on my stack of books to read one of these days, whenever there's time, whenever there's a pandemic. Oh, wait a minute. I still didn't take the time to read as much as I could. Stayed in touch with my friends, which is a much better move.
Oh yeah, totally agree. Yeah. But I do recommend this book. The thing I like about it is he doesn't just do all the, like, Jobs read almost all of it, but while he was still alive.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But he approved even the shadowy things, you know, that the darker,
nice, yeah,
edgier things. 2011 was the biography. And I know Steve Jobs died in like in October. Oh, it was 2011.
Yeah. Okay.
Cause I was out in LA when the news came in. I was at a conference and we were in the middle of this learning, like this guy was giving this presentation on, I don't know, I can't remember what software now, but he paused for like 5 to 10 seconds. And he said, what it was he had to go out to, oh, this is exactly what it was. It was something to do with, one of Adobe's, web builder, softwares. I don't even think they still have this product anymore, but it was super easy for designers to build websites. And so what he wanted to do is show the class, like, some examples from Apple's website. And he goes out to the website and it had that there's image of Jobs. And he was like, ugh. And the whole class just went quiet. You know, it was.
Yeah.
And then
And what's interesting about that moment too is that most people probably found out on their iPhone, which is, you know,
yeah, that's a good point.
Itself.
Yeah. I happen to be anyway. on a laptop, you know, because I can't even remember the name of the product. Doesn't even matter. Point is though that
DRS-80.
Yeah. But
the Radio Shack, yeah. Yeah.
But anyway,
it came up that way. It's funny that you mentioned the warts and all, you know, the idea of having him read a book and say, "Yeah, here's the dark parts, or here's the, you know, the questionable parts, but I'm going to put them through anyway." It made me think of Back and Forth. Fighters documentary, where it's like, I'm gonna lay it all out and lay out, and it was kind of like it functioned as his apology in a lot of ways. Not that he would have done it differently. That's what I liked about it, is that it wasn't like, I'm sorry I did this. You know, I knew what I wanted and I got what I wanted, but I didn't go about it the right way, kind of thing. So I thought,
I remember the lines exactly, but the line that I really liked from that film was when he said, you know, most bands work all this stuff out in private and then they publish an album and then they come out. And he's like, we were becoming a band in the public eye.
Yeah.
And exactly. So if you frame it that way, every band does that. I mean, to an extent, it's pretty rare for you to go, this is the four members. Like U2 did that, but that's rare. And so, you know, they had to iron out some things, and, you know, I think everybody who's been a part of the band has benefited in some way. So it's not it was a tragic story for
anybody. No, I just like that he told the whole story. I think it was good. It was good to do that. Don't candy coat it. Don't make yourself the hero.
No.
And in doing so, you make yourself the hero.
That kind of works out that way. I would agree with that. Works out
that way. If you're honest and forthright, two qualities that we don't see a whole lot of in leadership these days. But anyway, enough about that.
We digress.
It is interesting looking at who has been active over the last 5-6 months and who hasn't, music wise. Like there have been artists that I thought for sure would either do online shows or do something different or write or whatever. And they haven't. And then there's others that I wouldn't have expected to jump on it, and they jumped on it. The opportunity was there if you wanted to take it.
Yeah. And I mean, obviously it's all contextual. And I think people, you know, like we've talked about this before on this podcast, but I think we have, but you know, some musicians, like some athletes, like all comedians need something live, like an energy that's coming off of the people.
Right.
And you know, short of that, it's really hard to have the energy you need to perform well, even for a camera, or maybe especially for a camera. And I think that bands that are really comfortable in the studio, that really enjoy that process, they probably have fared pretty well in this time, because they don't need, well, in that context, they don't need the live feedback. They can store it up and then put it out and then get the feedback. And that's, you know, electric enough for them. But for the people who want to strap a guitar on, and I mean, sometimes it's hard to do this even in the studio, like to have the grit and the gnashing of the teeth and the just because you don't have that energy that when you're on stage and the lights are on and the crowd is yelling and you're just trying to create an environment for them to have an amazing experience. You don't have that in the studio. You just have to imagine all of it. If I was forced at gunpoint to decide between recording in a studio and playing live, I would go with the studio, because for me, I've always enjoyed the magic of taking something that doesn't exist and then filling 4 minutes with something that invokes emotion and change. And by the way, I heard a great, it's not a quote, but I heard a great concept on the radio, or I'm sorry, keep saying that, on a podcast a week ago, where I want to say it's in Buddhist cultures. The way that they define good art is if the art changed the artist in the process.
Wow. Yeah.
It's so, I like that. That's a really interesting thing to wrap your head around. And so you know, I find myself thinking, okay, how is this recording process? I know how my last one for my solo stuff changed me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah. Like, how is this one changing me? And it's been really interesting to tap into that thought because it has changed me. It's now just a more of a matter of like kind of identifying that, but it looks like we have another player up in this room.
Oh, I think we have a very special player up in the room today.
Better known as Aurora's dad.
That's right.
I don't know. Mr. Laffert, can you hear us? He might not be able to hear us yet.
Can you hear us?
No.
That is the only singing I'm going to do.
I reject that.
it just the moment hit and I did not resist.
Well,
this podcast is not about resisting.
We're going to have a training course for how to resist that particular urge. It's impulse coming control. Out.
Yeah. The switch goes off on impulse control once I get on the mic on the cheap flight. Uh-huh. Just so you know.
Uh-huh.
What are you, what's your beverage today? Or do you have a beverage?
I am just having Stephanie bought me what is that called? Where you can make your own soda at home, the something stream.
Oh, the soda stream.
Soda stream. Yeah. So she bought one of those for me. So I just had a little soda stream diet cola, which I enjoy. How about you?
The best wedding gift that I gave to myself. We were going to a wedding and they had listed this soda. This is about 3 or 4 years ago. The couple had listed SodaStream on their list. And I went, what is that? I'd never even heard of it. So we went to the store and I checked it out and researched it. And I went and bought two and gave one to the couple and then kept one for ourselves.
Yep.
So
yep.
That's the best wedding gift I ever bought.
Yeah.
But I have the vodka mud shake. I don't know if those are even available in the U.S.
I have not even, I don't think I've even heard of that. That sounds delicious.
Yeah, I think Bailey's, but with vodka.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I put it over a little bit of ice cream, so I'm combining my vices all at once, just to get them all out of the way.
The weekend has begun. In America, we like to call that vice cream.
I like that, vice cream. Yeah, yeah.
And that's not German.
I put a little under my eyes before I go to bed. Just get rid of the wrinkles. Get rid of my crow's feet.
I think if you drink all of that, it gets rid of all the wrinkles on the people around you.
Yeah, true. Why didn't we call the album Crow's Feet now that I think about it? And I like that.
Yeah.
Boy.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there's still time.
There's still time. Yeah.
No, there's not. No, there's not.
Actually, there's not. No, yeah. There's not. So we are, I mean, it's been weeks since we've had an episode. And so let's talk about that for a minute.
It's been weeks since we've had an episode. It's only been a couple days for me, but it's been weeks since we've all had an episode. So
yeah,
let's clarify that. It's been some time.
There was an episode this last week, last Friday. And no. We were trying, you know, the target by which we use to get everybody on has been super flexible this year, obviously because of pandemic and work schedules have been all over the place and
children are being born
and reared and
stuff like that.
And
yeah, exactly.
And so trained. We, and people are moving. Derek has moved. I mean, there's been so much that has happened just in the time that we've been in season two, but
right.
We got into, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks ago. And I think, you know, Jeff was in the throes of a very hectic work schedule. He was trying to get a lot of irons out of the fire so that he could take some time out and become a new dad.
Prepare the homestead. Yeah.
It's not a policy, but I have always wanted to have the chemistry of all four of us on the episode because there's a magic that happens that it becomes a comic relief and also we all get to stay connected. But anyway, that unwritten policy, if you will, or approach has kept us really from getting together because we can't get our four schedules aligned. School has started back up for you. Yep. School has started back in for me. now there's a new Laferit in the world. I mean, there's all these things going on. So,
which is the greatest of news, that the fact that there's a new Laferit in the world is encouraging on so many levels.
Oh yeah. And I love the name Aurora. I mean, come on. Yeah. I would have never thought of that.
I was thinking of renaming my kids after that name came out. I thought, man, I looked at my kids' names. I went, I could have done better. I could have done better.
Yeah, I've named all of my kids Ryan now. So
oh, nice, even better. Yeah, you didn't call him Rai Rai. Thank you. That makes the distinction. I can still be Rai Rai, and all your kids can be Rai.
Are you hitting me?
Which is great.
Are you hitting me clearly?
We are.
Ah, there he is.
Yes, yes.
We have contact.
Please stand by. Technical issues. So
yeah, make it so. Make it.
What did I miss?
Oh my gosh, I just talked about how I in the process of renaming my kids because you took the level up another notch. and now I'm like, oh man, my kids, I mean, I love their names, but I think I need to change them.
Oh man.
I think I need to change them. I don't know how legally you can do that when they're in their 20s, but we're going to see what we can do.
They don't have a say in it at this point. You can still, they're still yours, exactly. Right? So I guess you can.
They're still, yeah, exactly.
You can call it whatever you like.
Exactly.
Awesome. How are you guys doing?
Great, great naming.
Thank
by
you
the way.
Very much. Yeah. It's, so here we are, dad.
And congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm taking a drink to congratulate.
Hey, all right. Perfect. I'd love to have one of those. I really don't know whether it's like 1:30 or 2:00 in the afternoon or 2 a.m. or Lyndon has this great book that he was reading about sleep schedules and being on whatever. I literally have no idea what that is now. So we're going on 2-hour, 3-hour intervals and that's it. So
welcome to our world.
Oy vey, it's all over the map. Anyway. Here we are. Dude, this has been a long time, a really long time.
Yeah, yeah. You know what? I'm waiting. I don't mean to be rude, but I keep checking the mailbox every day because I know there's a cigar on its way. So I'm just kind of just waiting for it.
To your house?
Just saying. Just putting that out there.
Oh, okay. I'll find another.
I don't think I wouldn't risk shipping it over the border. So I can take the other two if you want. That's fine. I always have the vision of reading Charlie Brown when I was a kid, and he would pass out the candy cigars whenever Sally was born, or not whenever, when Sally was born. It was a big deal for him to pass out candy cigars, which I don't even think you could do in a comic strip right now. But
probably not.
I'll take a candy cigar. That's fine.
Perfect. Too. Okay. Yeah. So here she is. That's. I mean, yeah. It's all new. It's different. I don't know what to say. You know, I guess it's a growing process. You grow into these things, but yeah, there she is. She's healthy. 10 fingers, 10 toes. That's good news.
Well, Jeff, what's your philosophy on parenting? I just kind of want to get that.
Well,
a couple of weeks. Now.
I was reading the book from Bill Cosby on parenting, but then I. you know, the seemed like a pretty good idea at the time with the kids and the hippin' and the hoppin'. And I just thought that's not a good idea anymore. And so we put that one away. Yeah. That one with my OJ book. Remember the OJ book?
I still have the OJ book. OJ, world's greatest running back.
Oh my goodness. I'll never forget. I know nobody knows what this is, but like, so Ryan, I remember, I don't even know how long ago it was, but you found this book and the best part was I think it was the back page, because there was like a picture of OJ and he's standing there and he's got his helmet and he's, you know, gridiron great. And there's a cop standing close to him and he's got this look on his face. Know. Like, I know something's up, man. I know something's up with you.
It's going to be a couple of years, but I know we're going to get you on something.
Jeff, I'm just, you wait till I make detective and then it's over, mister.
I will make sure that everybody gets a copy of that. Cause I scanned the book several years ago. Cause I was like, you're not going to find this again.
Oh, but no.
One of the greatest lines, one of the other great lines in that book was OJ's biggest move is the okie doke. And when he performs the okie doke, he leaves a trail of bodies behind him. Written in like 1973.
Wow.
Oh my goodness. OJ knows he's best.
You've memorized it. Oh my God.
Oh, dude, it was a fun. I'll tell you that. I had 201 jokes out of that book right there. That was good. Yeah, that was good stuff.
Yeah. Speaking of 201 jokes, looks like we have D up in here.
Mm-hmm. We do. Mm.
In the hizzy.
How exciting is that?
We're going to start at 12:30 or. Sorry, I'm eating this granola bar. It's pretty damn good.
Well, what kind is it?
Just Nature Valley peanut butter.
Oh, nice. It's
pretty tasty. Have you tried those Nature Valley, the ones that are like, they're like almost like a peanut butter and chocolate. They're like a round one. They're not just like the full bar. They're like,
oh, yeah.
Dude, those will do you right. They were.
Yeah, we've had those.
Wow.
keep it on the regular. They will keep it on the regular.
Game
can I get, oh, yeah. Can I get that? Oh, yeah. Again.
Oh.
Yeah. That was good. I like that.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God.
With the crunch.
That was the Kool-Aid man all over again.
With the crunch.
Well, that was the Kool-Aid man if he's out on a hot date and he's listening to smooth jazz and there's some wine toward. It's a different kind of drinking the Kool-Aid, if you know what I'm saying.
That's right.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's like back to the Bill Cosby book all of a sudden.
You know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Back to the Bill Cosby. You can eat. There's no difference between eating chocolate cake for breakfast and pancakes.
Oh, my gosh. You know. Yeah, dude.
That's true. Very,
really, there isn't.
That is great.
It's true. Give me some chocolate cake.
Feed your kid chocolate cake. Yeah.
It's got the eggs. See, everybody. Mm-hmm. The only good Cosby impression so far has been Jeff's. Because I tried it.
Yeah, it's just terrible. Didn't try.
No, it's just terrible. Yeah.
There it is.
Just awful.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Well, we'll leave it to Big Daddy G to bring up Bill Cosby and O.J. Simpson in the same paragraph.
Yeah, my beautiful. Poor child is... wow. I'm so sorry.
We're just happy there's another Laugh-Rette in the world.
Well, thanks, man. Yeah, it's like I say, I don't know what to say. I don't even know what day it is. But she's great, man. She's good. Wife's good. Everybody's, you know, I mean, good. It was awesome. It was definitely this is obviously it's my first, it's her first. This was crazy. And she had to some complications there, so I had to go in for an emergency C-section. And it was like we'd been in and out of the hospital all day. Like they go in, they try to induce her. It didn't happen. We had to go back, you know, 5-6 hours later, tried again, didn't happen. So went back and she, we figured they were just going to do the same old thing again and send us back home. And then they were like, oh, there was some complications. We got to get the baby out like now. So out she went. And so, you know, it was kind of a scary thing.
Yeah, for sure. Glad that everybody's okay.
Yeah, it's good. She's back home and
glad on a smooth
very
delivery.
Smooth. Yeah. So you know, everything's good. Everything's very good. And yeah, for the record, I had no idea that Aurora was the name of Sleeping Beauty. I had no idea.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
Yeah. No idea. I just
that's one of those trivia questions I had like in 1987. So that's why it stuck in my brain.
I didn't know that either. My wife actually brought that name up. Just a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
And you know what? Honestly, it actually came from two places where we got that. For one was obvious. The obvious one was from, well, the obvious one to me was from the Foo Fighters song. But yeah, the other part, which, I mean, he probably doesn't even know this, and I don't really talk to him all that often anymore, but, you know, Steve Schwartz.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Boreal. I know what you're talking about.
So back in the day, he had that band Au Revoir Borealis, and I thought that was it just stuck with me after all these years. I thought it was a cool name. Yeah. So in some small way, that's where she came from. That's where the name came from.
Very cool.
You could have gone with Aurora Borealis.
I really could have. I think I was lucky to squeak Aurora by. That one was it wasn't an easy sell on my wife.
Or maybe.
And what's great is that I'm living vicariously through you because you know my son was supposed to be Adam Clayton.
Oh, 100%.
And that fell through. That fell through about 2 weeks before.
But you almost got it across the goal line, man.
I almost got it across the goal line. Dang it.
Oh, I just found something. AuroraMJ.com. So there's Aurora cannabis that's grown in Canada.
Well, there we go.
Well,
there it is. Excellent. That's
the true reason.
Hi, the guy.
See, all this time I thought you had a human baby, but now I know what you mean.
Yep. Limited liability company.
I wanted to have another kid so I could name them Cialis. But I was already told that was never going to fly. So
middle name in chains.
See ya.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Oh boy. So
you know what I like though? What I like about today is that I'm the only one with the strange name. Everybody else is themselves.
Yeah. See, you did it today.
You guys punked me. Hey, we're gonna come up with cool names, and everybody will. And I'm Turd Ferguson.
Yeah. It finally worked. That's what we were going for, is that you would show up one day.
This is like the reverse intervention.
It's like at the Bridget Jones movie, and they're like, "Yeah, it's a Tarts and Vickers party. Come dressed as a tart." She shows up. It's like a real classy event, you know. Exactly. So, so welcome, Turd. Turd's on you.
That's right.
So. We, and Derek, you got to get going soon, right?
I got to get out of here in 15 minutes. Yeah.
Well, we haven't talked as a group. So I was just explaining before Jeff came in, and then you guys didn't even notice it, but like something went haywire with my microphone. So I had to switch gears. I didn't hear most of what you guys were talking about. And all of a sudden I dropped in on the conversation and Bill Cosby was in the room. So
I noticed that you disappeared, but I just thought you were, I thought you were just giving Jeff the floor.
Yeah, no. Jeff the floor, but there was another reason why I went silent. But anyway, I was just saying that we had kind of this idea amongst us that we would only record if all of us could be present. And so that worked really great when it worked really great, but then it's a little bit harder right now. So I've just decided let's just set a time in the week. And then then cool. And if you can't, then yeah.
I wish you hadn't picked 4 o'clock in the morning though.
I know.
I thought that was a little odd.
I thought with the time difference, that would be okay with you. Turd.
Yeah, I guess so.
4 o'clock in the morning is not a bad time for a turd. But
tell me to read a book called Why We Sleep, and then you get us up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I don't know. Mixed messages.
Well, there's a sequel to Why We Don't Sleep. Anyway, sorry. We just a quick update for everybody. So we decided to go with 5 songs for an EP instead of 10 songs for an LP on account of because we'd still want to hit our target date. And we want to make sure that we're putting out, you know, quality over quantity. And I think nobody's schedule in this podcast episodes, nobody's schedule was spared this late summer. It's been a hectic 4 or 5 weeks in various ways. And then there's people who are moving house. There's people who are moving new humans into the world. There's people who are going and teaching universities. And anyway, so here we are. And so we got our 5 songs ironed out. There's some work yet to be done on those, but we've got rough mixes anyway for the 5. So we're squared away for that.
Which have sounded great in the car, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Yeah, dude. Sound really good.
Yeah. I'm excited to, just go in and fine tune. But what I've done so far is just, at least get all the pieces in one place. But I think it'll be, this is going to be a killer sounding project. The songs are strong. You guys have put your best foot forward as always. And so, not been a better song with harp on it that I've heard, and that's no slam to
that's true
to
the other album
to mm-hmm. Your wife's work. I mean, her work is sweet, but this is
takes it in a different direction.
It's, slightly.
She's a little upset about that. I'm gonna get the playing credit, so I'm gonna have to downplay that.
Yeah,
around here, I've stopped wearing the sash that says "Best Harpist in the House." that wasn't helping anything,
and it just sucks that for all of the future, there's gonna be living proof that you actually did play her harp when she asked you not to. So
yes, exactly.
Yeah.
Don't touch it. I like that.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Well, that's rock and roll. Yeah, I mean, it's rebellion.
It really, it's really,
hands off.
I cannot wait to unleash this stuff.
Is your wife protective of her harp?
No, not particularly.
Like, hands up. Don't touch it.
Well, when there's no, yeah. No, not really. Not
because one of them isn't one like got some age on it, some years.
Yeah, one's 110 years. Oh, wow, a little bit older than that. So about 100. It's older than the Titanic sinking.
Wow, awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it was actually on the Titanic, which is a really cool story, but I don't have time to get into that.
Right.
It cost a little extra to get because we went, we want the one that was on the Titanic and we'll pay extra. We'll pay $20 more to get that one. And we did. So,
well, the,
but no, it's an old machine. I take my laundry off of it every other day because I try to do a clothesline between the two.
Yeah, yeah.
And, that's where my clothes get dried. But other than that, we have the utmost respect for those instruments.
Yeah, sounds like it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Just checking.
I do have a sinking feeling that story was incorrect.
Well, when we sell it, that's the story that's going to go with it, Doug.
Exactly.
Oh, you're not selling that thing.
The only harp on the Titanic.
Well, I hate to harp on this, but...
Oh,
man.
Well, you're trying to clearly you're trying to school Jeff on the dad jokes. So,
hold on. I'm still typing this. One sec.
On your lithograph. Yeah.
So do we want to, what do you guys want to chat about? We got about 10 minutes left of Derek's time.
It's been a long time
since we've done some recommends, but why don't you go, Jeff? Talk to me.
Oh gosh.
No, not with your recommends.
Just to be clear, November 3rd is still the date, right? That's kind of.
Yep.
Okay. And is there anything like, I mean, not that this is necessarily a forum for all kinds of, if there's anything that you need, is there anything that, from, you know, like I know I shifted over some stuff there too, some, project files and stuff, and I hope everything got there and. Was there anything?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay, good.
I thought for a minute there was a track missing, but again, resolved it once I turned on all of my, because I had all my, you know, rhythm tracks muted at various times for you. Because we try different combinations of you doing some loops and me doing some loops, et cetera, et cetera. But anyway, I turned some of my, some of those things back on. And I was like, oh, okay, there it is. Because I was listening to your reference tracks and then I was like, this loop sounds cool. Something's missing here. And it was like a kick that I had programmed. So anyway,
cool. What's cool is that we're in multiple locations, but everybody's got their own flavor and input on it. And that comes through the recordings we have so far, which is awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everybody's personality is crawling out of that record.
Agreed.
And that's the best way to describe it, because we're all a little restless, and so those influences are crawling out of each of you.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, those videos you made are pretty cool, man.
Oh, thanks.
I like the 70s one, kind of.
The auto theft.
The boys in the car. Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I played around with it. I mean, I don't know if it's gonna work for everybody, but it was.
Yeah.
I was bored, and I was like, I got these vintage films. Let's play with them around the theme, because. Yeah, I mean, it'd be great if we could say, oh, we shoot a music video and do it. But I mean, really, there's still, you know, distance issues and all that kind of stuff. It's hard to shoot a video with people 6 feet apart, I think, from what I understand. Right. So.
Yeah, and my budget for 70s LTDs is I don't know if I could even, you know, justify it. But we might as well use some old footage. Yeah.
Exactly. Play with it and see what happens.
Just see what happens.
Hey, Lyndon, on the next round of mixes, can you shoot me the mixes over without vocals?
I absolutely can. I can.
I was playing some of the mixes for Janice yesterday in the car.
For you.
I was playing them for Janice in the car. She was really liking. She loved the lyrics on Feel This. She loved, you know, the other stuff that was going on.
Yeah. Awesome.
Cool.
Yeah.
And she even liked my harp playing.
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
When it's good, you can't deny. Man,
yeah,
that's right.
Yeah,
that's right.
True.
It's good of her to, you know, take, you know, to suck it up and give you props.
She's a trooper. Oh, and then we listen to Trooper after.
Oh, some. Perfect. There you go.
Nice.
Which is also my recommend for this week. The new Trooper.
Any other questions or ideas or comments, you guys, about the EP
We never really settled on a progress process, I guess. Are we going to do like five, try to do the five and then do, I like the one, I like do the five and then do one every 2 months. I think that's a doable, yeah, a doable
goal. Can you say months again?
Yeah, if we, there's definitely
months.
Five. I like to do five and then do one every 2 months.
Months.
Months. I didn't say, I might, I'd say months, like M-U-N-T-S, months. Months. Hey, we got months.
Hey, guys, we got a months up in here.
Oh.
Oh. Oh.
Months. Months.
Yeah, I'm good with that. I'm good with that. I mean, we could do that for a bit and then see if we want to collectively try to put together, you know, string together some more. I think, you know, one thing that's very, very different from when we put Lemonade out is that we're in the streaming era, of course. And so there's really less emphasis on having 10 full songs.
Right.
You know, like,
yeah,
when they're used to be.
Correct. Yeah.
So if you truly ask the question, what record or how would we be putting music out in 2020 if we stayed together? Chances are we would be just be doing this, you know, what we're doing. So
yeah.
Exactly. That's how a lot of the
band. And I think it's probably it's a whole different process now too, because again, the first record was you and another individual, and that's not the case anymore. It's all of us, and so
it's
all of us. It's a collaboration.
See, it's a whole different writing process, and it takes a little extra time and stuff. But honestly, like you had mentioned, I totally think it's worth it, and I'm glad that we're doing the five songs, because I think those five are they're total bangers.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
And I'm really happy. I echo everything you said, man. I think that everyone's bringing their A game, and it's exciting, man. And especially when I start hearing some stuff with Derek on top, like it's one thing to, you know, you'll send me some stuff and I'll send it back and we'll hash some stuff out. And then Derek hops in there and I'm like, oh my gosh, dude, like this is just bananas.
Yeah. Yeah. This is collaboration at its finest.
Oh man.
As a songwriter, it is one of those. I mean, and literally there have been songs, we've talked about this on this podcast before, but there have been songs that I started writing the riff 2 years ago, like Restless. Right. And then when I finally get a track back, especially with the vocals on, with even a quasi close mix, it's like, oh, okay, here's my Aurora being born. Like I can finally put some, you know, it's not all my imagination in my head. It's like, oh, this, here's the song. Like, here it is. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But until you do that, it's just all locked up in the gray matter. So,
sure.
Loving it. Yeah. And the drum tracks are sounding big and thick.
Yep.
The vocal tracks are, you know, I think you have said, Derek, that you sound better than you have maybe ever. And I have to agree.
Yep.
100%.
Oh, thanks.
Just rip in.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I don't have all the high range I used to have, but you know, some of the power is still there.
Some?
I'm a lot healthier than I was back then.
Yeah. Some of the power is still there. No, it's quite powerful. So
yeah, these are the emotive, the way you emote on these songs, and in one particular part where you kind of choke and kind of take a breath. Is so effective. It's so effective. Yeah.
Oh, really?
So effective in that moment. That I can't wait for people. I can't wait.
I got to tell you, Brendan, it's really hard. The verses on Martin's Dream are really hard to get out. That's a really tough song.
Well, and
even back in the day, they're always hard for me to have that much, to enough breath. You know what it is? It's because I'm trying to be whispery. And when I whisper, maybe I use more air or something. It's weird. I don't know.
Well, it probably complicates it that I think we sped it up probably 5 beats per minute too.
Right. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Totally. Oh,
yeah.
Oh, but
so I might have to kind of piece that together a little bit to make it a little bit smoother.
Yeah, you could alternate if you want, like out from beneath, and then like rest, and then you know, whatever. Yeah. Wait, yeah, whatever.
Here's what I recommend for when it's the sped up vocal. What would Omega Force do? And just do that.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Whatever that flow is, just do that.
You know, it's been really good working with you, Turd. But we're going to have to, unfortunately, today's last day.
My Omega Force is really low today. My electrolytes and my Omega Force are extremely low.
We didn't make a cake for your last day, but we did bring some granola. peanut butter.
Yep. I do like the running theme that every cheap flight is my last cheap flight. I love it.
I know. There's kind of a theme. Yeah, you're right. I'm seeing a pattern develop.
It makes me want to expire before the next one, just to make a point. Yeah. You thought it was funny.
We hardly knew ye.
No. I want to live. No.
So I just want to live. So do we want to run through some? Oh, no, Derek's got to go. Derek, give us your recommends and then you can drop.
I don't really have a lot. All I got is Nature Valley peanut butter. Beautiful. Granola bars.
If we can get an endorsement from them.
Yeah, well, really.
Leader though. Dogs and fully endorsed by Nature Valley. I like it.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Okay.
This week, but I'll have something
more. There's nothing more rock and roll.
Okay.
Well, I guess I'll say my say my goodbyes then.
Do we have music to play them out? I don't know.
I guess I'll say my
happy bye. Trails. he came in with "Oh yeah," and he goes.
It's cool because you sound like the kid that whose parents showed up before everyone else's parents to pick you up from the party.
I guess. All right.
I wish. Don't have any fun without me.
Well, you know.
Just give me my loot bag. Oh, I don't get the loot bag because I'm leaving early. What?
We should write a whole song where that's how he sings it. All right, Derek, we'll let you go, man, because I don't want
you to. All right, guys. Peace, buddy. Have fun.
All right, gee off. What you got?
Wow. Oh man. I may have to, I don't, you know what? I recommend sleep. Get it when you can. Highly recommended. I mean, I know people talk about this stuff, but I had no idea it was this bad.
You thought it was overrated. Yeah. You thought it was overrated before. Now you're like, oh, the pillow.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I think what it honestly, dude, you know, long and short of it, I think it was really just that because she had the C-section, it's not like people always say, oh, yeah, well, but, you know, their baby's really just looking for her anyway, you know, at this point, which is true. But if she's not very mobile, then you're the vehicle with which gets baby to where she is. So
yeah. Right.
Yeah. When she's up, you're up. So that's but right. I'm sure that'll level off. But anyway, but yeah, get some sleep, folks, because if you're going to have any children, you never will.
Again. At least you can't, it's hard to string it together enough. You know, it's one thing to have like a complete sleep cycle where you go into your deep sleep and you come up and you get awakened then. And that's still not optimal if you haven't gotten, you know, three or four or five, let's say four cycles put together for an 8-hour night of sleep. But if you're woken, if you're awakened just after like, you know, 45 minutes of being in kind of a deeper sleep. I totally get it.
Yeah.
It's not that you're not sleeping. It's just that you can't string together enough time to sleep and to naturally wake up. And that's
correct. Yeah.
That's brutal over time. That's brutal over time. But, I will tell you this 20 years later, the payoff's amazing. So just keep with it.
I'll look forward to turning 65 years old and hopefully
we both will get a good night's sleep. Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay.
How about you, Turd? What you got, man?
I like Frontline, PBS's Frontline. They do this, I think it's every other week, just this in-depth study of whatever. And this week's was called Policing the Police. Where they went into Newark, New Jersey, and they did a whole study of what was happening with police reform and how the community was responding and the different approaches they were taking. It was just a really good, rounded discussion of what's happening and what's current right now. They're usually good at keeping on things that are happening at the same time. I guess the other thing, because I'm going to take two, Criminal UK on Netflix.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you've seen that one. The whole premise of the show is an interrogation room. And I'm pretty confident they don't ever leave the room. it's like this play that takes place over about 40 minutes, and there's a different suspect or person being interrogated. But the new season just came out this week, so there's one season before that. And it's called Criminal UK because they actually released like Criminal France, Criminal like in different languages with subtitles that are fun to watch as well. So I remember when they first launched it, they launched four shows in four different places, but all the same concept: an interrogation room and police trying to figure out how to get information out of somebody, and whether they're going to blur the lines, cross the lines. But it's we watched the second season last night. And it's current. It's like Black Mirror, they say, is like 5 minutes ahead. Criminals like now. It's like what's happening now. And, you know, the ethical issues behind it. So.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Just look that up. Brand new season on Netflix.
Awesome, man.
Cool. I am just going to go with I've already shared it with you guys via text, but that documentary called The Social Dilemma is really fascinating and eye-opening. And I mean, it's not anything necessarily that we didn't know, but when you sit down and listen to it for an hour of this is what's happening while you're on your phone and making these decisions, it really, and you know, I think they did a kind of a cool job with, you know, putting together a fictional story in the background to kind of like show how these concepts play out in real life. At first I thought it was a little hoaxy cheesy when, you know, they show the three guys who are kind of the algorithms, like sending ads and whatever. Yep. But the way they resolved that at the end, I thought was really dramatic and well done. So then I was like, oh, okay. Now I'm okay with that.
I agree with that. It felt a little like an after school special when they started doing that. Like that was, I liked the story of the family behind it, you know,
made it
different than other documentaries. But when they brought the three in, I was like, oh, all right, this is, but by the end, it made sense.
I mean, I understood where they wanted to personify that, but it was just kind of, you know, it almost felt like a 1970s Star Trek.
Yeah,
you know, injected into this, but again,
which like I think was the point. Maybe
the way they resolved it, though, was it made it worth all the cheese. You know, but the fact that they bring in like legit industry folks who were working on these products in their inception and now have stepped away because they see in their own lives. Like I was, one thing that stands out to me is. They ask these people, like, do you let your kids, you know, use their phones? And then they were like, no, oh, no.
Not a chance.
You know, no way. Yeah. So, you know, I do technology for work. I use technology. I mean, I use my phone for everything. I'm an early adopter, but I have grown. I quit Facebook years ago because I think they are kind of the leaders amongst and I don't want to start naming products. All I'm saying, though, is that I've known about these things and I have been more and more careful over time. And I have quit these things for other reasons as well, like mental health. But boy, when you watch something like this, it really makes you think, what's the value here? And is it that important to me? So,
I watched really it. Cool. I watched it once myself and then my wife and I watched it. And then I immediately closed my Friendster account.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah, I figured that was a good start.
Yeah,
but as a gambling man, that would have been my recommend for this week. But I had this really strong feeling that you were going to do it, so I held back and said no.
Well, yeah, I could have.
I didn't watch you scrambling. Pivoted. I didn't watch you scrambling.
2020 in Latin means pivot. I don't know if you knew this.
I had a pretty good sense that you were going to go with that anyway. So I'm glad it was on the table today.
Yeah, very compelling.
For what I do for, you know, when I used to travel to schools and talk to kids and parents and stuff like that, that show is something everybody should watch.
It's a good tool. I didn't... this is not a spoiler alert. At the very end, I got a chuckle out of, they said, you know, connect with us on social media. And then just kidding, go to this website. So that was cool.
Oh yeah. I don't have to stay through the credits anymore. Oh, man. Sam Jackson showed up and said that. Oh man.
What were you going to say, Jeff?
Sorry.
No, I just honestly, just to wrap that up, I really do give you a lot of credit, man, because you seem to be, you're really good with distancing yourself from social media and otherwise. And although at times it can, you know, if you're the person that's trying to get a hold of LP here and there, you know, right. there may be a lag, but overall, I think I really admire the fact that that's what you do, because I feel like it gives you, you're the one in control. You're the one driving this, and it's you, technology works for you, not the other way around. You know, that's, I appreciate that. That's what you're doing, man.
Yeah.
Thank you. And, you know, employ that when and where it makes sense for you. And it doesn't make sense for everybody. There's some people who have to be very connected. I mean, like we've said before, Jeff, if I was working freelance, I would be very, very connected, because you can't, you want every thread coming in when it's happening. Mm-hmm. But what I've personally decided for myself is just to use it for promoting, like, either my podcast or our music and everything else. I resist the temptation sometimes just to, like, pop it open just to see what's going on, because that, you know, I will say this, they've designed their products really well. And the reason that they're so addicting is because they've done their job really well. But,
go ahead.
I was just going to say, it can determine how you're going to think that day. And I just, I don't have time for that. I can't afford that. So that's, you know, that can come across as me being like, I've got this figured out, and poor everybody else. It's not what I'm trying to get at.
It never comes across that way, for sure.
Good.
I need some space.
I
need my space, which isn't the best way to say it.
Let me type this up. I'm typing it out again. Hold on. That's a good one.
See if it's real. MySpace.com. See if that's
pure gold.
Yeah.
But you're pulling out the connections, like in the Matrix, where you start to pull out all the wires that are wired into you, and just take a break from having that all connected all at once, for sure. Yeah. Which I would, it goes back to my original recommend. Sorry, Frontline did a thing called an episode called Handling Misinformation just about a month ago. And that's the only time I've ever been actually afraid after watching the show, because it just showed how easy it is to disseminate lies. And it's a good follow through from The Social Dilemma, because it's like the next step from The Social Dilemma, where they just go, look, here's this. And if you watch it, it will be very frustrating. And honestly, it makes me glad I'm on this side of the border. Not that it doesn't happen over here, but it certainly is a whole different level in other parts of the world. But those two really could go hand in hand, The Social Dilemma and Handling Misinformation, because it shows you how much you are a news source for the people around you. Yeah. And that you should always be mindful of that. I tend to challenge people because of what I do. I tend to challenge people who post stories that they haven't vetted. They haven't looked to see if it was legit. And I, you know, if I know them, I gently say, hey, that's not true. Just saying. And I'm going to burn some bridges along the way, but I don't really care.
Yeah. Cause you're creating a lever that you can pull for the culture around you. But also, I just wanted to double check if that's actually true, what you just said.
Well,
hey, just to,
sources are multi. Yeah.
Just to wrap it up though, Ryan, myspace.inc is available for $2,000.
Oh, nice. Okay.
But you can get myspace.tattoo for $150. So that might be
the way to go. I think so.
Yeah.
That tattoo is the future.
Yep.
It is such the future. Well, man, this has been really good catching up with you, gentlemen. And
yes, sir.
We'll keep the engine going on here thing that we call Leader Dogs 2020.
And as always, it's always been a pleasure to be part of this podcast, and I've enjoyed my time.
Oh yeah, me too. Even the time where I couldn't hear you guys because by the way.
Well, because the threat is that I might not come back.
I absolutely hope that my Apogee One has not fried, because I will be hosed. This project will go on a little bit of a hold if it is.
So, oh, man.
Fingers crossed. Anyway, okay. I'll keep you
updated, informed,
as I find out. So
awesome.
Have a good rest of your Friday, and try to get some sleep there, my man.
I'll do it.
All right. See you,
Ryan.
Bye.
See you.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.